Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, today's show has no hype in it. Today's show is very confusing. And you say, well, Del, why would you put out a confusing show? Because the world is confusing. Guy sent me an email a month or so back. He said it was an article by Elon Musk stating that we should teach critical thinking in school because people can't critically think any longer. What does that mean? Mini definition. Analyze the facts. Come up with your own conclusions. Be critical about other people's opinions. Something like that. And when I read the article, it was neat. Yeah, sure, we should teach critical thinking because people don't do it anymore. But today I'm sitting here going, I was thinking that. I was hitting myself on the side of the head with my finger going, but what good is critical thinking when it doesn't get you to a solution? And that, my friends, is where today's show is going. What happens when you figure it all out and it still doesn't give you a clear direction? How does that work? Why is it that way? What could possibly create a scenario where there is no actual answer to your critical thinking? Boy, that's a crazy one, huh? So where do we start here? Guy sent me an article. And let's see if I can read this to you. It says, real estate bulls need to check themselves before they wreck themselves. And this guy goes on, he's a contrarian, and makes this argument in this article that real estate prices are ready to crash. And honestly, if you read the article and you're a critical thinker, the points that he makes are absolutely true. In fact, I listened to three nationally renowned economists over the last week or two, and all three of them bring these same points up. But they all came to a different conclusion than this guy did. So how can that be? We're using the same points and we're coming to a different conclusion. Well, that's how critical thinking works. You can look at the same set of facts and get a different answer. So what are the facts? The facts are, according to this article, according to the economists, there is massive inflation right now. So what happens with massive inflation? We all know what's going to happen with massive inflation. The Fed's going to raise interest rates. They've already said they would in March raise the first round of increases. They've also said they're going to stop buying bonds, which is buying down the interest rates. So the stuff they're doing right now to make the economy stronger, to make real estate more expensive. You say, well, Del, explain it to me. How is real estate more expensive? The lower the interest rates are, the more you can pay for a piece of real estate and still make it cash flow. And so what has happened here over the last, and this guy makes this argument, since 2008, real estate prices have been going up. 2008 is when they all crashed. It's when I tripled my net worth within 2 or 3 years. It was the greatest real estate buying streak since when I started in 1987, when everything crashed. When you have a real estate crash and prices go down, now you can buy real estate at a price relative that you make a ton of profit from it. But each year since 2008, which he says is 14 years ago, the longest peacetime run-up in real estate values ever, right? Ever. Normally, real estate values and prices rise for about 5 to 6 years. And then there's going to be some kind of a pullback, just like the stock market rises, and then there's a pullback. But there's been no pullback in real estate for 14 years. That's the point this guy's making. And so have other economists. Everything out there points to there should be a major real estate crash. Every economic theory of supply and demand and markets moving and ratios and numbers and everything proves that the market should be ready to crash. With this massive inflation, the Fed should be raising interest rates. And that, in turn, should make real estate more expensive. And that, in turn, should slow down people buying real estate and maybe even create a crash. But let me tell you what's been going on in real estate for the last 5 years. Up until about 5 years ago, you had to be able to buy a piece of real estate. When you bought a piece of real estate, you had to make it cash flow. You had to say, okay, I have to be able to have net operating income. That's all my income minus all my expenses and amount of money left over. I had to have something called a debt coverage ratio. I had to make at least 125% of what my mortgage payment was. Well, prices got so high that wouldn't work. And the prices got so high that it wouldn't work such that they started saying, what we'll do is we'll give you 1 or 2 years of interest only, meaning you don't have to cover the debt service for the first year or two because you won't be paying down the mortgage at all. You'll just be paying interest, which is a much smaller number, and so you can cash flow. And then they took that IO from 1 year to 2 years, and IO is interest only, by the way. I don't like to use acronyms. Interest only payment from 1 year to 2 year to 3 year to 4 year to 5 year to 6 year. And now they have interest only loans for the entire life of the loan, meaning you're never paying any mortgage off. Now, the banks and the mortgage companies, they have an underwriting clause that says that there has to be a better situation at the end of the loan than there is at the beginning. So what they're letting people do now is lie, literally lie, about where they're going to be 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years from now. Now, they're saying, well, no, it's not lying, Dell. It's a track record. These guys have done this kind of stuff. They've proven that they can increase the income and control the expenses and et cetera, et cetera. Except they can't control the expenses. Because as the values on this stuff goes up radically year after year, the property tax values and insurance values go up radically. So the costs go up radically. They can't control the costs because as inflation takes wages up, payroll and wages go up radically. Yet they're lying and saying they're not going to go up. And I say lying with, you know, the grain of salt, finger in my eye, saying they're allowing them to make the argument that they're not going to go up. And so they're underwriting these things under a set of conditions that are more and more and more dangerous. So now the banks know, they know interest rates are going to go up. So what they've done is they've lowered the interest rate super low on the front end and made it adjustable rate mortgages so that people can still buy real estate with prices way too high, way higher than they should be. I mean, the prices people are paying now is way higher than they should be paying for. This real estate doesn't make any sense. And yet the banks are letting them do it. Why? Because the banks need to make loans to make profits. Because the brokers need to sell real estate to make profits. And because there's so much pent-up money out there that has no place to go. Nobody's paying any returns on money. And so good money's thrown after bad money, and bad money's thrown after good money, and money is just sitting there trying to buy anything and everything it get its hands on. That's the problem, my friends. There's too much money chasing too little investment return. Not investments. There's lots of investments. But investment return. There's no returns on investments anymore. And that is what this guy is pointing out. When we come back from break, I'm going to go into the rest of his points, and then I'm going to rebut them all and tell you the other side of the story. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing an argument of why critical thinking doesn't always work, because sometimes you can look at the same set of facts from two different sides, come up with two different conclusions, and both of them have all the logic in the world behind them necessary to believe that you're right. And then it becomes, what do you want to be right? Where are you at behind the argument becomes the answer to the argument in self-fulfilling type of way. So today we're talking about, the guy wrote an article about, you know, real estate is going to crash. His point is there's massive inflation right now. That massive inflation is going to lead the feds to increase interest rates. The prices of real estate is already overpriced. The financing for real estate, as I was going into right before the break, has become ridiculous. In fact, the loans that most people are putting on deals as of today are a 3-year adjustable rate mortgage, which is going to go up. There's no way interest rates are not going up. We know they're going up, right? And at the end of 3 years, the loan's over. You have to qualify for another loan, and you get a 1-year, you can qualify for one more year if you've raised the income enough to qualify. Then there's one more year after that you can qualify for. So you can qualify for up to 5 years on this loan, and then the loan's done. Well, the bank's basically letting themselves get out. They're taking a 3-year risk window is all they're doing. And they're eliminating their risk window by putting an adjustable rate mortgage on it so the interest rates go up. And they're making you buy an insurance policy, which is what they call, we call a cap, where you're paying an insurance company to cap your interest rate at a certain level, which means that if the banks keep going up in interest, at some point you won't feel that because now the insurance company will take over and start paying the difference in interest rates, right? So they're also saying, he's also saying that because the prices are so high right now, they're starting to overbuild real estate again. The construction of real estate is going up. Now, that's been tethered by the demand for everything, which has been shortened because of COVID. There's, you know, building materials are more expensive. Everything out there, labor's more expensive. Everything is harder to get and more expensive to build right now. So the prices of the stuff that's being built is even higher, which basically bolstered the argument the other direction on the guy. But he's saying there's too much building going on. I don't see that, but that's part of his argument, okay? And then he goes on and says there's a lower population growth. And so even though they're building all this new real estate, there's nobody to fill it up. Now, A better way to look at that, and I don't really know if there's less population growth. I don't really believe there's less population growth, although could be, because I know that as the white race became middle class, we dropped to less than replacement parts kids. In other words, if it takes two kids to replace husband and wife, we only have 1.4 kids in our families on average. That means we're not replacing ourselves. Now, we've allowed for people to come from other countries to fill up the country with people, so the labor force continues to grow. We've had minority families that have multiple kids. They still believe in large families. And so it hasn't been a problem for the United States. But what if the whole country gets to that point where it's 1.4 kids? You know, that's where immigration is. That's why they're letting people come across the border, Republicans and Democrats, because they need bodies. They need somebody to buy stuff. They need somebody to do the work. Because the middle class and rich people are not willing to do the work. So it also means people to fill up the apartments. Somebody's got to live in all these units, right? All right. That argument can go either way because I don't have the facts to prove that one out. But I will tell you what the economist said. The economist said people are moving out of the cities. People are moving to, there's two types of migration going on right now. One, out of big cities. COVID is pushing people away from being in a situation where you live on top of each other. People don't like it. COVID has created jobs where you can work from home. You don't need to get on the bus and go to work. You don't need a subway to go to work. You work at home. People don't want to live in those expensive and cramped conditions of New York City, of LA, anymore. So they're moving out of big cities. Number two, they're moving away from Democrats. They're moving out of blue states into red states. So in those blue states, the population is literally going down, guys. So if you're buying real estate in a blue state, you're out of your mind. Because this guy's argument makes all the sense in the world. Now let's add one more argument to that argument. He also says that rents are going up faster than income. And I believe that. We have year over year about a 16% rent growth in our industry right now. You don't have a 16% pay increase. You might be lucky to have a 5% pay increase. But you don't have 16% pay increase, but our rents have gone up 16%. Now, the point is, wow, good for us, good for us, good for us. Is it? Is it a good thing where you get the rents so high people can't afford them? What happens when people can't afford the rents anymore? They start moving in together, two families. In effect, cutting the number of people and demand in half. When you cut the demand in half, what's going to have to happen to the rent? It might go back down again. Then again, it might not. The bottom line, though, is that if your clientele cannot afford your product, that's got to be bad for your business. In the long run, that's got to be bad for your business, right? So you look at this and say, well, why is it they're paying it? They're paying it because they have to. But what happens if they just say, I'm not going to? What if they just move away? Find someplace cheaper to live? Can it happen? Yes. And this guy says it will happen. He says you are eventually going to price yourself out. Now, let's go back, and we've only got a minute to do this before we go to break again. Let's go back to the argument the banks are making. You have to prove out 3 years from now that you're in a better financial position as an owner of this apartment than you were when you got into it, that you've raised the rents and lowered the expenses. Well, we've already proven the expenses are going up. We've already proven the rents might not go up anymore. There may be a stagnation point at some point. What happens when you get to the end of that loan and you haven't done that which they demand you to do to be eligible to get another loan? What happens then? What happens 3 years from now when all the chickens come home to roost? Is there another recession like there was in 2008? Do the banks fold up, close down, pull back? That's what this guy says is going to happen. And that, my friends, is the way his critical thinking has rationalized it all to happen. When we come back, I'll tell you what the other side says. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about critical thinking, and we're trying to point out to you the fact that you can look at two sides of the same set of facts and come up with completely different ideas as to what's actually going on. And we're talking about right now the future, the near future of real estate investing. So I listened to this guy the other day that is a syndicator. He lies about a lot of what he says. And I just sit there and I go, well, he actually might even believe his own BS because he says it so loudly and so repetitively. And some of the stuff he says is just so ridiculous, it's unbelievable, because you can see right through it. If you have any idea about what he is talking about, you can tell he's lying through his teeth. But you have to understand, you have to know what he's talking about. So the guy is a syndicator. And a syndicator is out there to make money by syndicating. Now let's think about this. Real estate brokers are not going to tell you the market is crashing because they need to sell you real estate to make a living. Unless they're selling real estate, they can't get people to sell unless people are buying. And they can't get people to sell unless prices are going up to where they can tell them, I can get your money out right now, whatever. So they've got to make the point that it's the right time to sell and to buy. Both sides, they got to lie on both sides of their mouth. Hey, you need to sell right now. Hey, you need to buy right now. But all they care about is this transaction. Mortgage companies need to make transactions happen. So they can tell you, look, we're making it infinitely more difficult to get a loan. But at the same time, we're making it infinitely easier to go broke on the loan we're giving you. We're making it so this loan is like a nuclear loan. It can blow up any time in your face and wipe you out. And we're taking less and less risk. Like I was looking at a deal the other day. I put an offer in an apartment complex, and used to be able to, you could put 20% down. At one point, you could even put 10% down. Now you have to put 35% down on one kind of loan and 50% down on another loan. In other words, the bank is putting themselves in a position that even if they have to foreclose on you, they're going to be fine because they don't have more risk on the property than what they know they could get. If the property were to crater, it's not going to crater more than 35% to 40%. They're going to be fine. But you're not seeing that if you're a syndicator, if you're a consummate buyer, if you know that the only way you make money is to do another syndication. And let's talk about syndications for a second. At Lifestyles, we teach syndications, but we have something called a white paper. And the white paper is in place with a set of rules that you have to agree to follow or you can't syndicate at our group. You have to agree to follow these rules that protect the passive investors to some degree. Nothing is 100% safe. But you got to understand what syndicators are doing. They're going out there and putting a deal together because, number one, they're making capital. They're making money as a finder's fee. They're making money as an acquisitions fee. They're making money as taking a percentage ownership of a property they didn't put the money in to get the ownership percentage for. They're just taking a position in the property for putting the deal together. They're taking a management fee. They're taking a refinance fee. They're taking a liquidation fee. They are making money even if this property makes no money at all. Now, the lies this guy is telling you is they're unbelievable. Number one, he says the larger the deal, the safer the deal and the better the deal. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my entire life. I've been doing this for 30 years. The smaller the deal, the safer the deal. The larger the deal, the more institutional money it's after the deal. The higher the quality asset, the more institutional money is after it. The smarter the people are you're negotiating against, and the higher the price ends up being. And they negotiate those things down to just a hair's thickness of profitability. They are very, very, very risky. Very, very unprofitable. The rate of return on those deals is almost as low as bonds. 3-4%. And this guy's lying and saying, well, you make 4-6%. Yeah, if he hits all of his projections, you might make 4-6%. If he doesn't hit his projections, you might be making 0-1 or 2%. But he's making tens of millions of dollars in these deals. But he's telling you the larger the deal, the more profitable it is. Why does he tell you that? Because the larger the deal, the more fees he makes, the more money he makes, no matter if the deal makes money or not. Why is the larger the deal not as safe? The larger and larger you get, the harder it is to manage a piece of real estate. We had one guy here that bought an 800-unit apartment complex one time. He said, I'll never do it again. He's one of our smartest investors. He's been successful in over 50 different transactions. He owns billions of dollars of real estate. And yet, he'll tell you, I'll never buy an 800-unit again. I'll never buy a big, expensive, gigantic property again. Why? It's too hard to manage. You're managing a city and not an apartment complex. But this guy, other guy's lying, 100% lying, that the larger it is, the better it is. The next thing you need to understand is that these syndicators, the more and more and more properties they get, the less and less time they have to spend on operating the property. To the extent that this guy I know doesn't even operate his properties. The guy I'm talking about doesn't, couldn't possibly be operating his properties. So you're in a situation, in our group, what happens is we try to dissuade rapid acquisition. People who grow their portfolio very rapidly get out of control. They haven't had the time to develop an infrastructure. You can't go buy an infrastructure. I've seen people try to do it. They try to go out there and match the speed of growth with the number and quality of people they hire, and it's very, very tough to do. Why? Because you have no corporate culture. You have all kinds of people from all over the place working together, but no corporate culture. A company is held together by the glue of corporate culture. My corporate culture is best product, best price, customer, total customer satisfaction. That's my corporate culture. And don't overwork the staff. That's part of my corporate culture. We have rules at my companies that you don't overwork the staff. If you've grown so much that there's too much work, you hire another person. You don't overwork people. That's a corporate culture. Other companies, that's not the case. They'll work you till you're dead, drop you off on the sidewalk, and pick up a new person on the way into work. And those companies don't last. Those companies burn their staffs out, destroy the inner workings of the company, and eventually fall apart. And that's what rapid acquisition does to companies. It destroys them from the inside out. I've seen it. We've had it happen at Lifestyles. We've had members that it's happened to. And we go in and we try to help them. We try to bolster them, but they'll never admit, no, I did nothing wrong. You did everything wrong with rapid acquisition. The more a person brags to you about how successful they are as a syndicator, the faster I'd run away from them. Because they're saying, look, I'm getting rich, which means you're probably not. The syndicators in our group, which we call lead investors because they have to qualify and pass a test, and they have to agree to certain rules. That becomes a lead, Lifestyles lead. They are being taught how to grow these businesses without blowing them up. Now, does that mean everybody follows our lead, our rules? No. And if some people have to leave. In fact, I've had many people leave. They leave because they want to go do what they want to do. They want rapid acquisition. They want to put all the chips on their side of the equation, and their passive investors, the people putting the money up, get nothing. Now, I've heard this person tell people things that are so crazy that only a lunatic would tell him. Guy called him up and asked him, I got $1,700. What should I do with my $1,700? He goes, put it all in my deal. Put it all in my deal. Why? Because you're broke already. You're already broke. Don't worry about it. You're broke. You're useless. You're just a dumb, dead person. Put your money in my deal. Then 10 years from now, you might have some more money. You know, you might make 4% on the deal. Like 4% is going to help this guy who only has $1,700, where that guy could go buy a house and make $25,000 profit if he did it right. But he won't tell him that because he doesn't care about what happens to the people around him and in his deals. He cares about himself. That's all he cares about. Me, 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 and I, me, my money, my money, my money. That's all he cares about. And he's not alone. That is the business world out there, the syndicators that want to suck you dry. That's why I don't believe in financial planners. I don't believe in stockbrokers. I don't believe in 401ks and IRAs. These are all gigantic syndicators taking your money for their own benefit.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
Now there's really no limitation to whatever you want to have in your life. Why? We can borrow all the money to buy an apartment complex. We can borrow the mortgage. Then we need a down payment. We can raise capital with partners to get the down payment money. And so money's no longer a limitation. Since the loans don't go on our credit reports, it doesn't affect our credit score. There's no credit problems. We get non-recourse loans. So there's no limitation on how much we can borrow. It's not like a house where they say, well, you can only have so much debt and then you mess up your debt-to-income ratio. No, it doesn't even touch our debt-to-income ratio. So we can do as much as we want. We only have so much time, but that doesn't matter. We just hire more people. The more business we do, the more people we hire, the more money we make. And so we have unlimited potential earnings that way. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000. Each. That was another 300 grand that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about critical thinking and how it doesn't always work because you can look at the same set of facts from two different positions and critically think your way into a situation of belief that you're right when really you could be completely wrong. My address, if you want to contact me, is AskDell@LUINC.com, which stands for Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc. So it's AskDell@LUINC.com. AskDell@LUINC.com. It's me answering your questions, no one else. I take my own emails and so forth. So if you got something, send it to me, and we'll see if we can get it. If it's good, we'll think about putting it on the radio as a question that we can answer. We're talking about the fact that syndicators, right now when we went to break, syndicators believe that real estate will never go down. In fact, the one syndicator I was talking to you about has literally says this in his podcast, that these deals will never go down. They'll always go up. You're always going to get rich. There's no way that any of these things could go wrong. And that you just got to keep buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. Now, ultimately, for whatever it's worth, I've seen a lot of really good syndicators that believe that for a very, very long time. And then out of nowhere, a black swan event happened and boom, they got wiped out. I've also seen a lot of very, very smart people that I would consider smarter than myself take risks that were unnecessary and go into businesses that were not proven. We had one set of syndicators that got wiped out because they went into student housing. I told them, we don't know anything about student housing. I'm not saying student housing doesn't exist and couldn't possibly be good. I said, but we don't know anything about it. So if you go into it, you're going in blind. And he went in blind and he got wiped out. What can I say? Had another guy go into hospital housing. I said, I don't know if hospital housing works, but I know this. We don't have any idea if it does or not. And he went into hospital housing and he got wiped out. I mean, I just don't understand why people will take these massive risks with other people's money. It's, I guess, the reason they will is because it's not even their money they're risking. They're risking somebody else's. And they can sleep at night. I could never sleep at night. In fact, that's why I don't syndicate anymore. One, I have enough money of my own to invest, but I could be a lot richer if I syndicated. Can you imagine how many people would want to put their money with me? But I'd rather them put their money with themselves and get rich themselves than to give me 20, 25% of the deal and fees and whatever not. I have enough money. Yet these rich syndicators just want more of your money. And they believe they're never going to fail. Never going to fail. They can't even conceive failure. And yet they don't care because it's not their money. And if they do fail, they're losing your money, not their money. And they know it. And they don't care. So well, what does your critical thinking say, Dell? My critical thinking believes that there's truths in both sides of this argument. My critical thinking says, I've been looking for the last 5 years to put my money, now that I have a lot of money, and it's darn hard to find any place that makes a higher rate of return than real estate, even though real estate's returns have been cut in half from what they were 10 years ago, and cut by about four times from what they were in 2008 when I was making 200, 300, 400% returns. Now we're making about 100% return over a three-year period of time. That's what I'm seeing in my deals and what most people are talking about in their deals. And so it's about a 30% a year total internal rate of return. Cash on cash is more like 4 to 6%. So the capital gains added to it, blah, blah, blah. The tax advantages added to it, blah, 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 brings it to about a 30% return, 33 or so percent return. I can't find that anywhere else. And so I keep buying. Last week, I made four offers. In fact, was it this week? Might have been Monday. This week, I made four more offers. Last week, I made another offer on a big apartment complex, and I haven't heard back on that one yet. But yeah, I'm still making offers. But what I am doing is when I buy these things, I'm buying them with very, very low debt, very, very, very low interest rates. And I'm locking in super low interest rates, and I'm putting a lot of money down so I have a very small debt service so that even if the world crashes, these things still cash flow, and they're still safe investments for me. Why? It's kind of halfway in between, isn't it? It's like, I don't know any place you can get a better return, but I sure am not going to sit out there and be with one of these guys saying it could never fail, because it could fail, and it might fail. I'm also keeping some liquid cash. I'm not spending every penny I have, because if it does fail, boomerango. That's when you buy everything you get your hands on when it's crashing. That's when I'd go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and start syndicating again, just to get people's money into the game when it should be. When the last crash came, I went and got myself a partner to operate everything so I didn't have to be bothered operating, and started syndicating. Syndicators have time to do one thing, syndicate, raise capital. They don't have time to operate their own properties. And so I got myself an operations guy to take care of the operations. Now, what happened was, after we syndicated a ton of stuff, then all of a sudden I found out I needed to get back involved in operations. Because someone who takes their eye off any business they own will eventually be unhappy with the results of that business. You do have to pay attention to what you do. And so at that point, I stopped syndicating, started paying attention to my own business, worked my way through those deals, made a ton of money, got out and bought my own deals that weren't syndicated, and small enough number of deals that I could keep my eyeballs on them. That's the way I did it. So my friends, you see, that critical thinking doesn't always come up with an answer. Today, you might be more confused today after this show than you were before this show, but at least one thing is, you are informed. You're informed about what the potential downfalls are. You're informed about what syndicators are doing and how they're lying to you about the facts. Smaller deals are always safer than larger deals. Larger deals always have a lower rate of return than smaller deals. And syndicators make more money off of big deals than they do off small deals. And that's why they're always going to tell you that the bigger deals are the better deals. They're not. They're more expensive. So remember this. Get out there. Do your own critical thinking. Evaluate the things that I brought to your attention today. Evaluate 10 more articles by other people and figure out where you're going to put your investment dollars. But make sure you follow the rule. Rule one, never lose money. Rule two, there's got to be cash flow. And rule three, you can't get rich slow. And if you do that, my friends, then you really will live an unbelievable lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.